Karen, shout out to you. Birthday. Daff, shout out to you. Gary, don't tell me who my November people are. I know them. I know them. If you're born in November, big shout out to you. We're in November, which simply means that we went through. I wish y'all would still sing and play, because I'm still in this worship. But it simply means that we went through January. What happened in January? I don't know. Some people lost their lives in January. We lost some loved ones in January. We got some bad news in January. In February, I went to the doctor, got some bad news. Heard my aunt had a stroke, went into the hospital. In March, my grandmom got severely sick, went into the hospital. April, some bad things happened. I went to a funeral. A lot of other people, heard bad news. There was, I believe, a mass flood in Europe. A lot of people died. What month are we? March, April, May. May was kind of cool. May was kind of cool. Not a whole lot of bad news for me, but it was still a little rough. Still a little rough. June, my grandmom passed. July, some more bad news. Something happened in your life. I'm talking to somebody here. I'm not just talking about myself. July, some more bad news happened. And some people lost their jobs in July. What's that next? August, some more bad news in August. It just seems like there was nothing that was really working the way we would love for it to work. There was some good stuff that was happening in between, but oftentimes the bad cloud, that cloud, it hovers over the little, seemingly little good that we experienced. And we left July, went to August. In August, the kids got to school, and about a week or 2 weeks into August, it was what was the code? What's the teacher? Code yellow, or the code where active shooter? It was threats, schools. The code was at a very high. I'm talking about this year. It's just 1 year. And September into October, and now we're in November. I've lived about 6 years between January and now. About 6 years. Had to travel for 4 funerals to Jamaica this year alone. I'm saying, I've lived about 6 years. I see David there, who recently lost his mom. Another David lost, and Zori, they lost their home to a fire about a month ago. I'm talking about this year. This year. Just last Sunday, there was a funeral here. A family was on vacation, having an amazing time, celebrating a birthday. And they got the news. Their mom passed. I'm talking about this year. Just so long ago, I read, and it was a 13-year-old girl in Ohio, I believe, and she was molested. She was raped. And got pregnant. I'm talking about this year. And then there were storms. And I was watching while the storm was happening. And at one point, they said it was 170 tornadoes. And check this, the storm wasn't even here yet. Now, what do you do as a believer, when it seems like Every single thing is going wrong. What do you do? How do you survive? What do you do? So when Lisa says, they left. I don't know, they all just left me alone. So when Lisa says, oh, sometimes that's all we have is a cry out. Sometimes you just got to cry out. Just, you don't have no words. You don't have no prayer to pray. I was putting my son to bed. I believe it was Wednesday night. I was putting my son to bed, and I told him, all right, prayer time, let's say a prayer before bed. And I kid you not, verbatim, this is what he says. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I immediately told myself, I'm going to make him pray again. But then the Spirit just came over me. And the truth is, sometimes all we have is the thank you, Jesus. We can't literally identify the things because there's so many things happening in and around our lives. Their lives, our loved ones are being, I haven't even talked about the wars that's happening. It's so many things that's going on, and sometimes all we have is a cry. All we have is a shout. All we have is a sigh. And when you arrive at that spot when you can say 1, 2, 3, 4, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Three words. Thank you, Jesus. That's not even you. That's the Holy Spirit praying through you. But no matter what the devil threw at us, no matter how he seemingly sucked the air out of the room, no matter what's happening, your commitment to still try your best to be obedient is going to be rewarded. Showing up when you don't feel like showing up. Being kind when no one is being kind to you. Doing the right thing when the right thing to you in a moment seems as though it's wrong. All them sacrifice that you make, God's going to reward it. He's going to reward it. There's going to be a day, Sasha, when you won't get me coming up here talking about the things I'm telling you right now. There's a day when we'll turn on what, I don't know what, I don't know if there'll be TV, I don't know if it'll be flat, I don't know what, but we'll turn something on, or we'll talk to a friend, and you'll get through conversation after conversation after conversation, and you won't hear not one bad report. Yeah, that day's coming. And until then, who's with me? I'm gonna try and be obedient. Through it all, I'm gonna try and be obedient. Through the hurt, through the pain, through the chaos, through this country, through my family, through it all, through this job, every single, I'm just gonna try and be obedient. I'm gonna try my best. I'm gonna try and be obedient. That's my prayer. That God, you would help me and help us to be obedient. When you plant a seed in the ground, the tree does not grow immediately. And you don't, and even after the tree grows, Jason will tell you, I was a part of it, but that tree was planted. That mango tree was planted about, 5, 6 years ago. And the first time we got fruit was this year. There is a day that we're going to get fruit. Your obedience will bear fruit. And that fruit will be a fruit like no other. We're praying, Father in heaven, Lord, we are so tired. We came here to give you the very little that we have. So we ask God that what we have given away, what we have used up, that Father, that you would replace it in the name of Jesus. That you will fill us up till we want no more. We thank you for what you've already done today. We thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Come on, we can do better than that. It was Christina who said, it's not cold. Is it cold in here? She said it. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Yes, yes. It's amazing to be here today. I'm going to ask if you have a Bible or a phone with a Bible app on it, if you have access to a tablet with a Bible, whatever it is you have, I'm going to ask that you just take that out right now. Take that device out right now. We're going to be jumping. We're going to be jumping several places in the Bible. We're going to study today. We're going to try and see what the Lord has in store for us. And let's stand together as I read. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 24. And I'm going to read. I don't know if we can put it on the screen, Jason. That would be amazing. Matthew 24, verse 37. And we can all read together. Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and verse 20, and verse 37. Matthew 24, verse 37. Matthew chapter 24. And if you can give me, Jason, the NIV. Ugh, we're on the same, because the Holy Spirit working. All right. All right. Matthew chapter 24, if you are able to stand, I invite you to stand with me as we read Matthew chapter 24 aloud in verse 37. Here we go. After three, and this is let me set this up. This is whenever you see in the Bible words that are what color? Red. Who's talking? All right, so find your inner Jesus right now. I don't know if your inner Jesus is deep or if it's very high or if it's just in the middle or if it's soft. You know, your inner Jesus. Let's find that inner Jesus and let's shout this thing aloud. Here we go. After three, one, two, three. Amen. Somebody is reading the King James Version. I heard, so shall it be. I know that. I know it. I heard it. We're going to do it one more time. It's on the screen, everybody. Let's read together. After three, one, two, three. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, neighbor, I'm fighting to win. All right, turn to the next neighbor and say, neighbor, neighbor, I'm fighting to win. All right, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Wouldn't it be amazing if when God talks to us that we hear just as I'm speaking to you and you're hearing me? Wouldn't that be amazing? Right? Wouldn't it be amazing that just like when you text a friend and that friend texts back, you know, that we would talk to God and we would get a text on our phone and we would open our phone and we would see exactly what God is saying. Wouldn't that be amazing? It would leave no room for error. You could text back, just to clarify, are you saying I should go this way? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing if there was, Kevin, a book in the Bible, Kevin chapter 1, verse 1. hear he the words of the Lord. Kevin, I need you to. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be awesome, Akil? If when we went to your book in the Bible, Akil chapter 3, it said in the year 2024, I want you to do this, that, and that. Wouldn't that be cool? We wouldn't be confused at all. There wouldn't be no need for stress. There would be no need to worry. I was talking to a friend of mine in the cafe maybe about 40 minutes ago, and I said, you should consider preaching. And she said to me, no. I said, this is me now playing with her. I said, maybe you should pray about it. And you know, and I lied. I said, maybe you should think about it. And she did this. No. I also said to her, maybe you should pray about it. Maybe you should pray about it. And she straight up said, no. And then another friend I had in the cafe said, she don't want to pray about it because she's afraid God tells her yes. And what do you do? I'm talking about Annalise. That's what I was talking about. And what do you do when God tells you to do something that you have no desire of doing? What do you do? It was Sunday. I had gotten up early. What happened on Sunday? Yeah, so I'd gotten up early, and I had, they had a funeral here. I couldn't come, but I came early, and I, did whatever thing I could do, and I left, and they had the funeral, and in the night, I got back. Before I came here, I got up early, and I cooked, you know what I'm saying? I cooked, and I shared with my a best friend of mine. I shared, I'm like, yo, it's 8:30, and dinner is done. I'm finishing out the year with a bang. And I transitioned from what I was doing throughout the day. I came back home and I was like, I ought to do my civic duty. I like to wait until the day, and typically that's what I do. It's just something, But this time around, I'm like, I'm gonna go early. And so I went to the library and I pulled up, and because I had made dinner. Now, every single time I've gone, it only took about 5 minutes. Where I'm going is about 10 minutes away. I turned the oven on. I put what needs to go in the oven in the oven, Kevin. I'm like, all right, let's go as a family. Come on, let's go. Come on, Carol. Come on, let's go. We all go. I pulled up in the in the parking lot, and Renee said, "Oh, woo, there's a long crowd." I'm like, "All right, let's go back home." And I start telling myself, "Yeah, Kevin, all these reasons I need to go back home." The oven is on. I'm like, "I can't. I'm tired. It's been a whole day. I can't." But anyway, we found a parking, and the whole time, I'm in the line, and it's a long line. The line is wrapped around the building. This is about 20 minutes to 6, and the poll closed, the station closed at 7, and I'm wondering, am I going to make it to the door by 7? And what if I don't? Are they going to turn me away? I don't know. We stood in the line. Kyra was, and that's the other thing. Kyra fell asleep, and I'm like, this is another reason. Kyra's sleeping. What are we going to do, stand and hold him the whole time? I think we should. That didn't work out. Nothing, no excuse. Everything is just, Renee's like, we're already here. Let's do it. And so and I'm looking at everybody, Randall. I see people with their whole family. There's some kids there. They're playing Pictionary or whatever that game is called, where they make a sign and they do some stuff and they try to guess, and they're having the time of their lives in this line. And I'm just grumpy and I want to go home and have my dinner that I made 8:30 in the morning. We finally got done. And we made it home. About an hour or just over an hour later. And I'm like, I'm complaining the whole time. See, I made a perfect dinner, and now I'm gonna go home to this burn up dinner. I'm upset, I'm grumpy, and I'm in the spirit of complaining. That's me. It was me. I was complaining. I got home and I'm in my mind, as soon as I opened the door, Lord, just please, I don't want to see fire, but I know I'm gonna see a lot of smoke. I know it's going to be smoke from, I just know. I open the door, no smoke, smells good. I'm running to the oven. I open the oven. I take everything out. And man, it was amazing. I was like, look at, here come my wife. Did you pray? I prayed. Did you pray? I'm like, I didn't pray, but you know. It was pretty cool. I was telling Renee, somebody standing over an hour in the line, I've never felt more American. And anybody that knows me knows I indulge in history, politics. I used to love gaming, not so much anymore, but you know, sports, history, and politics I love it so much that I'm watching South Africa, politics in South Africa, that don't even concern me. I'm trying to have conversation with friends, and I got no idea what you're talking about. I don't know. I'm excited for my own selfish and personal reasons about this election. And finally comes election night. And I started listening to NPR in the morning as I was driving to work about 5 o'clock. And I'm listening, and they're sharing all these poll numbers, and they're telling you this, and they're telling you that, and they're breaking things down. And in this county, this is what's happening. And in that county, see, 24 years ago, this county was blue, but now, 16 years later, and then they're doing everything. They're just breaking things down, the science of it all. And I'm being filled. I'm excited. Can't wait until the day. Now, I don't typically mix my spaces. So I'm very cautious as to who I indulge and converse with about these things. I'm at work, I just want to leave work, Shireen. I got home, typically Kyra is there watching whatever he's watching, get out of my way. I got business to take care of. You know, I turn the TV on typically I'm very kind about it. Okay, so I'm gonna change the TV. We're gonna watch some basketball. Okay, we're gonna spend some, maybe 10 minutes or something. I ain't care about all that. I turn it on. What I wanted to turn it on my news channel, and I'm there watching. And I see the clock on the side, and the clock is counting down to when the first polling station is going to close and going to report their numbers. And I'm just seeing this over and over as the information is coming in, and I go all the way up to 12. I'm wide awake. I need to go to work the next morning, 2 hours away, and I don't even care. I'm up 2 o'clock in the morning, and I see the president-elect stand up and on a platform and now makes a speech. He declares himself as the winner, and I'm looking at the numbers. Okay, it's first to 270. He's at 2. I can't remember the number. He was at 260 something or something. And I'm watching it all, and I'm like, okay, all right. So it's not 70 yet, though. Like, if you're running a race. I know you do Olympics. I know you do Olympics. You're right. If you're running a race, I can't stop 70% of the way if I'm doing 100 meter, and say it's over. But then the numbers made sense, and they shared why, and they're explaining, and they're breaking things down, and I'm just into it, man. I'm into it. And then the next day, I imagine, you know, there's so many people that are sharing their emotions. Some people are excited, and some people are happy, and some people are disappointed, and some people are concerned, and some people are afraid. And I started wondering how I feel. I'm very competitive, no matter what I'm doing. I like to win. It's just a joy, and it's just something amazing. It's something powerful about winning. You know, it just lifts me up and turns me around and places my feet on a solid ground. It's just something about winning. I just love to win. And I'm trying to figure out how do I feel? How do you feel? And I spent the entire time thinking about it. And I realized that all along, I had wrapped up my hope. I had wrapped up God's will. And I had confused it with not just my will, but the will of a system. The will of this U.S. government. I had all this time looked at the government through the lens of Christianity. I had neglected what my Bible said. And I had so much hope and so much, I had so much everything good. I'm filling the blank. And I placed it all on the government. But the Bible says that just as in the days of who? Just as in the days of Noah, so shall it be when God's going to come. When Jesus is going to come. In other words, this not just this country, but this world will never get better. If the world gets better, it means the word of God is a lie. And now I want to go, let's go to, we're in Matthew. I'll let's hear what Jesus says about the last days here. Last days. We're in the book of Matthew 24. And we're going to read verse 1 to 12. I want about 3 readers. If we can get some mics. Nate, you can help me out. You got a good gift the last time. Remember the gift you got the last time? Help me out. You don't remember the gift, Nate? Don't. You don't remember the gift? The gift, Nate. All right. Angelisa's going to get you a gift this week. All right. So grab a mic. Grab a mic. Turn the mic on. And who else? All right. Annalise, you're going to have to help him out. Please help him out. So you're going to do this side, and I need 3 readers. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to read verse 1 to 12 real quick, right? Matthew, who's my first reader? First reader, all right? So we got one in the back there, all right? I want you to read verses 1 to 4, all right? Second reader. 5. All right, so Lisa, second reader, Kevin, third reader. All right, so Lisa, you'll read from 5 to 9. All right, and then you'll read, Kevin, from 10 to 12. There we go, 1 to 4. The mic, over here. All right, 1 to 4. Now, this is Jesus, and he's talking about the end times, all right? He's talking about end times. All right, so here we go, 1 to 4, Matthew 24, verse 1. Go ahead.
Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings.
Uh-huh.
Do you see all these things, he asked? Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down.
Mm-hmm.
As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, The disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?"
All right. Stop right there. I want to read that one more time. What will be the what? What will be the sign? Get that cough out. Get it out. All right. So what will be, read it one more time. What will be the sign? Go ahead.
"And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?"
Now, does everybody understand the question? Are we clear on the question? All right, let's hear the answer. Go ahead, Lisa. Verse 4. That was 4? Jesus? Okay, yeah, sorry. Go ahead. 4.
Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you."
All right. Verse 5. Here we go.
"For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah,"
mm-hmm.
"and will deceive many."
Mm-hmm.
"You will hear of wars and rumors of wars."
Stop. Are we hearing of wars and rumors of wars? Where are the wars? Huh? Come on. Shout it out. Where are the wars? All right. In Palestine. There's a war in Ukraine right now. Are we hearing of rumors of wars? All right. Where are they? Where are we hearing the rumors? Huh? Israel. I mean, they're straight up warring in Israel right now. You know what I'm saying? But are there other places that we're hearing about rumors? Is the U.S. involved in rumors of wars? Is U.S. in who? Huh? North Korea? The U.S. in who? Russia? The U.S. in who? All right. Just want to make sure that we're identifying these things, all right? Here we go. Go ahead.
"But see to it that you are not alarmed."
Mm-hmm.
"Such things must happen, but the end is still to come."
All right. So one more time. The Bible is saying, right, these things are a must. Before the coming of Jesus, these things got to happen. They got to happen. Right. Keep going.
Verse 7, "Nation will rise against nation,"
mm-hmm.
"and kingdom against kingdom."
Uh-huh.
"There will be famines and earthquakes in various places."
All right. That is verse
7.
Let's go. No, wait. Go to 9. Go to 9.
"All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me."
Jesus. Wow. You ever hear the saying, it's going to get worse before it gets better? Yeah. All right, let's go, Kevin. Come on, finish it up.
"At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other."
Now, this is tough, right? This is tough. This is Jesus telling you what's going to happen. He's literally painting a picture. It's like, yo, so there are going to be wars. And then there's going to be some rumors of some wars, right? And then nation is going to rise against nation, right? And then kingdoms against kingdoms. And all these things are going to happen. And we're going to be persecuted. And not only will you be persecuted, but when you're persecuted, because you chose Jesus, you're going to decide, I'm going to walk away from Jesus. Now ask yourself that question. Are you going to walk away? Is that you? I tell people all the time, if you're going to commit a crime, make sure I'm not around. Don't commit a crime with me. If I'm going to go to jail, it must be something I'm very proud of. I don't even want court. Don't take me to the court. I'm going to go right to the prison. I'll pick out my pistol. I don't have to pick it out. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to be very proud. Kevin, I promise you, don't commit no crimes with me because I got responsibilities. I got things I got plans, okay? I'm not trying to be in any involvement and any mix-up and this and I. No. Officer is over there. Go get him. Come on. You don't need to. I'll drive you myself. He's over here. Call me snitch all you want. My priorities are very, very straight. I know them. So are you, or would you be one that Jesus is talking about here? Are you gonna run and hide in the hills? Pen of Inspiration tells us. Are you going to I'm going to give this Jesus thing up, man. They're killing people out there. What side are you going to be on? There we go. Finish up.
And many false prophets will appear to deceive many people.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold.
Wow. Wow, that was verse 12. Wow. All right. So the text was as it was in the day of Noah, right? It was as it was in the day of Noah. That's always going to be in the end. Now, we went to Matthew 24, where Jesus was talking, and he talked about the things that will happen in the end. Now, let's go back to the days of Noah to see what was going on. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, right? And we're going to read from verse 1 to 8, and then 11 to 16, and then verse 22. All right, let me get another reader. Let me get another reader. All right, Gary, this one reader right here, Nate. Let me get a second reader. So you're going to read from Genesis 6, 1 to 8. All right, 1 to 8. And then let me get one more reader. One more reader. One more. All right, Shireen right here. Do 11 to about 16 or so. Or maybe, yeah, 11 to 16. And let me get the last reader. I need one more reader. One more reader. One more. One more. All right, thank you very much, sir. Then the last reader is going to read from 17 to 22. Let's go and read the whole thing. Here we go. Go ahead.
When human beings began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful.
All right, stop. Who's the sons of God? Yes. Who's the sons of God? This is Bible study, so shout it out. Shout it out to me. Tell me your thoughts right now. Who's the sons of God? Come on, shout it out. Who's the sons of God? Huh? Who? Who? Men. All right. Somebody says men. Anybody else? Who's the sons of God? Anybody else? Who's the sons of God? We don't know? Huh? You said what? Seth. Seth, the generation of Seth. All right. Who? All right. Anybody else? Who's the sons of God? Annalise, you know? Nate, you know? Jesus is the son of God? Oh, yeah, he is the son of God. He is. But sons, I think the Bible says sons. Who's the son? All right, so let's pause right there. We're going to pause right there, all right? We're going to pause right there. Let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans real quick. Romans chapter 8. All right, matter of fact, I'm going to read it for you. Romans chapter 8. Romans, all right, and it is verse 16. Romans 8, verse 16. Listen up, right? Write this down for your notes. Romans 8, 16. It says, the Spirit himself testifies. Is it on the screen? Oh, all right. The Spirit himself testify with our spirit that who? That who? We are God's children. Can I get 17? Now, if we are the children, I want to read. Hold on. Can you give me the New King James Version? There's a particular word that I'm looking for that's very, very critical. Very, very, here we go. Good. All right, let's go back to 16. All right, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Go back to 17. And the children then hears of God and joint hears with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also what? All right, so it's not just, it's a little bit further than just mankind. It is, the Bible is very specific. The doers and the hearers of his word. Are we clear? Those who are obedient, we talked about obedient earlier. Those who are obedient is the doers. And I'm not saying you gotta be perfect. And this is not about perfection. You have a desire to obey God, right? That would make you the sons. Okay, so now let me ask you this. So if that says what the sons of God are, who are the sons of the devil? Huh? Who are the sons of the devil? Those who go against God. Yeah. So just like we ought to obey God to be sons of God, it's those who are obedient to the devil. Right? Now, we're not going to read it now, but write this down. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 talks about the... Let me make sure before you write down and see. What did I say? Genesis chapter 4? Okay. So Genesis chapter 4 talks about the sons of the devil, the wicked ones. All right? And at the very beginning, you said it right there, at the very beginning of chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5, a matter of fact, chapter 5 in Genesis is literally the genealogy of Seth. It is Seth all the way down to Noah. The very end of chapter 5 tells you that Noah was 500 years old. All right? So are we clear? Are we on the same page? All right, here we go. We have a lot to cover. I'm going to try to move very quickly. Here we go. Continue. Who was reading? Right, go ahead.
And they married any of them they chose. Mm-hmm. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years.
All right, stop. All right, so let me just break this down, right? Let's go back. Let's fast forward. This is a whole lot. It's very boring. I don't like preaching these kind of sermons. I really don't. Because it's just a whole lot of information. But it's a class, all right? I'm teaching. So listen up, right? At the very beginning of time, it was perfect. Remember the garden when God said, let there be, and then he created everything? Y'all remember that? All right. Then what happened? Sin, right? In chapter 3, sin happened. And what we knew to be perfect was not perfect anymore. And God did what? What did God do? He kicked them out of the garden and he placed angels to guard it, right? And he tells man, now you're going to feel pain. Now you're going to work. Now you're going to experience wickedness and evil and stuff. Watch this now. Watch this, right? You got amen. I hear you. I hear you, baby. So listen, before God made the world, we must understand that God knew that this was going to happen, right? The Bible says in Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, right? And so he made a plan. What was the plan? I'm going to send my son. My son is going to go, and my son is going to go and save the world. However, check this, right? Check this. He has to come, Isaiah tells us, he's going to come through a pure line, pure lineage. So watch this now. Remember chapter 4 of Genesis talks about those who were obedient to who? No. Chapter 4. Those who were obedient to who? Come on, shout it out. Who? Chapter 4. If you're not obedient to God, who are you obedient to? All right. So chapter 4 talks about those who were obedient to. Chapter 5 talks about those who are obedient to who? To God. Now, at the beginning of chapter 6, what do we see happening? What do we see happening? Come on. Right, they were crossing. So what God didn't want, It's for no mix up and blender. You know what I'm saying? God wanted, you know, it's not perfect. It's not perfect. But if you are deciding to be obedient to the devil, the Bible described them as the wicked ones in chapter 4. If you are deciding to be obedient, God is saying, my son has to come through a pure line. Now, I want to go back and just to identify. Now, Adam and Eve had at first how many kids? We know them. They're very popular. Two boys. They were what? Cain and Abel. And then what happened? Who? Cain killed Abel. All right. So then they had a third son. I got to do this. Now the meaning of Seth's name. This is, I don't know if this is going to blow your mind like it blew mine. But the meaning of Seth's name. Come on, computer. Come on. Just stop playing with me right now. Is it dead? And the name, okay. The meaning of Seth's name is the replacement or appointed. Y'all following me right now? Y'all following me? The meaning of Seth's name is the what? The replacement. Who's he replacing? Huh? Who's he replacing? Who's he replacing? Huh? Come on. Who is he? In the beginning, right, was perfect. But God knew before the beginning that this world is going to be messed up. We're going to mess up, right? So what did he do? He created a plan, right, that he was going to send his son. Now, really and truly, it was Adam's responsibility. Right? Y'all follow me? Right? Adam is the first son of man. It was Adam's responsibility to save the world. But Adam done messed up, you know? And now it's passing on from Adam. You know, if the father can't do it, the son got to do it. But see, Cain killed Abel, right? Abel was supposed to do it, but he died. Are we on the same page? So Seth, the replacement, God is saying, I'm going to send my son through this lineage. Y'all, we on the same page? It's a whole lot. We on the same page? All right. So now chapter 5 talks about the lineage, right, of Seth. Tells you about Methuselah and Enoch and a bunch of names that I can't pronounce that I'm not going to say, right? You can go read it yourself. And then in the beginning of chapter 6, now chapter 4's people, the wicked ones, and God's people are not crossing. They're marrying and breeding, right? Are we on the same page? All right, read the next verse.
The Nephilims were on the earth in those days, uh-huh, and also afterward.
Uh-huh.
And the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children, mm-hmm, by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth,
mm-hmm,
and that every inclination of thoughts of the human heart were only evil all the time.
Wow. It's not just evil, but it's evil all the time. All the time. Go ahead.
The Lord regretted that he had made...
God regretted it.
...made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled.
All right. I'm not going to go... It's a whole lot of history. It's a whole lot right here to unpack, right? But I beseech you, go and research this for yourself. Go and study this for yourself. The Bible tells us that God regretted making man. I want to stop right here. If you go and unpack the Hebrew word for regret, you'll realize it is linked to an emotion, a deep-rooted emotion. The Bible is saying right here that God was deeply hurt. He was deeply hurt that he made mankind. Because we were not just evil, but we were evil all the time. All right, let's go.
Okay, so
That was, what verse was that?
Starting 7 now.
All right, now go ahead, 7. Go ahead, 7.
So the Lord said.
No, Shireen is going to read 7.
11.
Okay. What was 7? Read 7.
So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them.
All right, stop. Let's jump down to 11. Jump down to 11. Oh, wait, no, we got to read verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. All right, go to verse 11.
The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence.
Yeah.
So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its width 50 cubits.
All right, stop right there. So essentially what's happening is God has given Noah the instructions. He's given him, Kevin, the blueprint, right, of what is to save his family, right? Go down to, what verse was that?
That was 15.
That was 15? Go down to 20.
Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, mm-hmm. and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you and keep them alive.
Mm-hmm.
And you shall take for yourself of all the food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded.
Say it one more time right there. So.
Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did.
All right, so listen, right? In very plain language, right? God decided he's going to start over, right? God told Noah, take yourself and your family, build a boat. He gave Noah specific instructions. I'm going somewhere, guys, I promise you. He gave him specific instructions, right? Build it with 3 layers and put the wood here and knock the nail in the wood there. And I don't know, I'm not a carpenter, but he gave them the instructions. Now, I want to pitch something to you here. There is a replica, exact replica with the exact measurements. I've never been to see it. I've seen it on TV, but I believe it's in, I don't know, Tennessee or something like that. When is it? Kansas? Kentucky, all right, it's somewhere here in America. All right, now, Marilyn, you've been to see it? No. Jason, you've been to see it? You've been to see it? The Noah, the Ark in Kansas? No? Oh, his parents? Okay. All right, that threw me off, okay. All right, so the point I was gonna make is the exact replica, the exact measurements. Historians visited, they confirmed, they did a documentary about it on the History Channel. I watched it. You'd probably find it boring. I thought it was amazing. It was not as big as, what is the new ship that Royal Caribbean built? What's the ship? Icon off the Seas. It was nowhere close. To iconography. Now, historians tells us, I did my research, you're going to find north of 100 million people, right? Now, it's a whole lot. Some people say it's 750 million people that, in terms of the population, you're going to find 120 million. You're going everything is consistent north of 100 million people, right? There was no way. If God told Noah to preach for 120 years right? That little bitty boat was going to hold quarter of y'all following me right now? Y'all following me? If God gave Noah the instructions and say, Noah, go build a boat, but preach for 120 years, right? Preach for 120 years and see who gonna come with you. He preached for 120 years, but he gave him the instructions, the exact measurement. There's no way. So you're gonna argue and say, maybe God knew, not maybe, God knew that nobody was going to decide. So that's why he gave that. God knew. He knows it all. He knew that no one was going to decide to they had never seen rain before. Rain wasn't a thing. There was no need for rain. It had never rained before. If I was there looking at Noah, I would probably laugh at him. Right? Now, what if that blueprint that Noah got, what if it was supposed to be shared with every family? So what if it was never God's intention to have everybody? So should they have decided to give their lives to God and turn their lives away from evil and move in the direction of obedience? What if God's intention was to, here's the blueprint, go build the boat for you and your family. I'm gonna land right here. I think largely we have confused the will of God with the will of man. And we somehow get so wrapped up and so consumed into our likes and dislikes, right? Where we try to identify Christ-like characteristics in governments. There is evil on both sides. It don't matter who win. Don't matter who is in there. The Bible tells us that it will only get worse. It's only going to get worse. Don't matter who is in there. So I'm not going to land my hope on any one man or any one woman, because the truth is they're no different from me. A matter of fact, history tells us that when you introduce power to mankind, what man does is what man does best. And that is mess it up. It was through power where slavery was implemented. It's through power why you can go to one community and get good schools and go to a next community and the schools are good. It's through power that you go to one community and you don't see no healthcare facilities, no clinics, and no hospitals, but in that same community, you're going to see a fast food restaurant. You're going to see liquor store on every corner. It's power. So we can't land our hope on no politics. We can't land our hope on any one person. He's not a savior. She's not a savior. The savior came and died for you and died for me. And he went away and he promised that I'm gonna come back for each and every one of us. So I'm fighting to win. I'm fighting to win. And this is my fight. I'm going to try my best to be obedient. Shireen read it. Read it again, Shireen. The very last, Genesis chapter 6. The very last thing in chapter 20, verse 22. You don't have it? There you go. Noah did everything just as God commanded him to do. I think God is still looking for a Noah in your household. He's still looking for a Noah in this church. He's still looking for a Noah in the community. He's looking for one person that is willing. So you know what? I'm going to forget my desires here for a second, and I'm going to focus on what God is calling me to do. I don't have the resources to do it. I don't know how I'm going to get it done, but I know I'm going to put my trust not in man, not in the bank, not in man, not in an institution, not in promises, not in policies, not in the government. I'm going to put my trust in God. So I pray that as we have gone through this week, and maybe you are an American citizen and maybe you voted, I pray, thank you, Randall, I pray that as you contemplate what took place this week, whether or not you landed on the side of excitement or you landed on the side of disappointment, I pray that you realign your focus and not trust so much in man, but put your trust in God. It's going to get better after it has gotten worse. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. We're going to be persecuted. Some of us are going to run to the hills. Some of us are going to stay and sacrifice. Some of us are going to run away from God. I'm terrified when I think about that, to be honest. It's my desire to be on the side of Christ. It's my desire. But you're talking about facing something that we've never faced before. So whatever and however it's going to go down, I am praying that God just save my life. I want to spend forever with him. Regardless of the decisions I've made on earth, how many times I've let him down, how many times I've turned my back against him, how many times I've walked away from him. God ain't looking for perfection. Even Noah, as the Bible says, he did everything that God commanded him to do. Now, if you study further, you'd realize Noah was a drunk. He was an alcoholic. He wasn't perfect. So I'm going to invite you right now to stand. And listen, before you stand, this is a call to be, it's an obedient call. It's a call for you to be obedient in whatever it is God is calling you to do. The gratification and the peace and the fulfillment is going to come not because you'll see the fruits of your labor. It is going to come through your obedience. So my first appeal is you haven't really been obedient, but you're trying to make a commitment now. From here on out, I'm going to do my best to be obedient to God. I'm going to invite you to stand. Invite you to stand with me. My next appeal is you've been obedient, and you've been trying to be obedient. And the truth is, you fight and find it very difficult to find peace in your obedience or through your obedience. I talked about what happened from January, not even a quarter or a third of what took place from January all the way down to the month we're in. It's not going to get better until it has gotten worse. But through it all, I'm making a commitment. I'm going to still keep this obedience. I want God to increase and improve on my obedience. Bless me even more so that my obedience will not just, it will lead people to Christ. It will lead people, my obedience will lead people to Christ so that I will love when I don't feel like loving. I'll share when I don't have. I have nothing to be kind. I got nothing to give. I'm going to still give God. And I'm going to trust that you're going to take care of me and my family. I'm going to do something. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it right now. If you haven't been baptized, you've never been baptized, can I pray for you? Just raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Y'all, can y'all come up? Is that cool? Can y'all just come up? Come up. Somebody come up with them. Somebody come up with them. Are you here alone?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody come stand beside her. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Heaven, what's your name? Octavia. And what's your name? Nyla. And Renice. Yo, heaven is rejoicing right now. Heaven is happy right now. We're happy for you, right? A life, whenever you choose Christ, the devil chooses you. But the thing is, the Bible tells you that God will never leave you nor forsake you. So he's going to go through it with you. He's in the hospital with you if you're in the hospital. He's at work with you if you're on the job, if you're in school, whatever it is. You just got to try. Just remain committed. You don't even have to get it perfect. I'm not perfect. Nobody in here is perfect. I'm about to mess up if the wrong person cut me off on the street. That's the truth. But he's so loving. He's so gracious that he looked at your life before you were conceived, and he saw that you were going to mess up umpteen times, I'm going to still die for you. I'm going to still give you all that you're asking for. Even when you don't obey me, he says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven, and I'm going to pour out blessings. The life you're living now isn't because your mama, it isn't just because your mama and your grandmama prayed. There's a Savior in heaven that prayed for you. He called your name. He called your name. I'm excited for you guys. I'm excited for you. I'm gonna pray with you right now, and we're gonna meet with you after. And I ask that everybody that's here right now would pray with me. Those who are watching online, you're watching online, and you haven't been baptized, you haven't publicly declared that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. I pray that you put that information, drop your name. And we could drop the link in the chat, Jason, and you could fill that information out. We're going to reach out to you today. We're praying. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for what you've done here today. We thank you, God, that you can still instill in us the spirit of obedience. We thank you that you are so powerful, that you parted the sea. You spoke this world into existence. It was through your power that the walls of Jericho came down. It was through your power that the three Hebrew boys stepped in fire and did not get burned. Father, it is through your power that your Savior died on the cross but rose again early Sunday morning. And it will be through your power that we will see your face, that we will walk on streets of gold, that we will sing and tell the story of a life that we lived here on earth. We will shout with the angels, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We'll sit at your feet. We'll experience a life that we've never experienced before. Tears will be no more. Sickness will be no more. Father, we look forward to that day. when the full manifestation of your power will be revealed. We thank you for those who stood up saying they want to commit. They want to make a commitment to be obedient. They want God to give you all of them. Use their minds. Use our hearts. Use our hands and use our feet, Father, to do things in our communities, to do things in our homes. May lives be changed because of our attempt to be obedient to you. Because we're walking in our purpose. Because we're walking as you've called us to walk. Father, we thank you and we rejoice with heaven with these three young ladies that came up. They've never publicly declared you to be their Lord and Savior. And they're saying right now, today, I choose Jesus. I pray that you send angels to guard them. Be with their families. This decision that they have made, Father, I pray that you be with their hearts, that as they face temptations on a day-to-day basis, Father, that you would, just as you've said in your word, the weapons will form, but they won't prosper. I pray as they face those temptations that you would instill in their hearts, remind them that the weapons will form, but it won't prosper, that they'll probably get a beating, but they won't be broken to the point where you can't mend them back together. We thank you, God, for full restoration. We thank you, God, for full deliverance. We pray that today will be a day in history where not just they accept God to be their personal Savior and Lord, but God, the life that they will live from here on forth will be a testament that people will come to glorify the God they serve because of how you're shining through them. Prepare, God, a table in the presence of their enemies. We thank you, God, for this decision they've made. Seal it. Seal it in Jesus' name. And when time and earth shall be no more, we want to rejoice in heaven with you. We want to sing in heaven with you. We want to shout in heaven with you. We want to run. We want to play. We want to dance. We want to do all there is to do in heaven with you. So save us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Put your hands together, everybody.